The panel agreed with the defendant, Michael Joseph Kesvaznik, that the statute MCL 750.543M is unconstitutional because it doesn't require the prosecution to prove that he acted recklessly when he sent a social media post threatening to shoot up a Trenton school. Wayne County Assistant Prosecutor Maria Miller said the prosecution disagrees with the opinion and that they will seek an appeal in the Michigan Supreme Court. Our position is that the statute is not unconstitutional and it only requires a threat of terrorism. We clearly had the facts on our side in this case. This opinion completely misconstrues Michigan and United States Supreme Court precedent. If the ruling stands, it would mean prosecutors could not bring charges under the statute as written. The statute says a person is guilty of making a terrorist threat if he or she threatens a terrorist act and communicates that threat to any other person, end quote. But the statute does not require a prosecutor, quote, must prove the defendant consciously, end quote, was aware that others could regard his statement as threatening violence. As a result, the case returns to the circuit court for dismissal of the charges. This person in gross ill was charged back in September 2023 by making a false report of a threat of terrorism when he sent a social media message to a young girl that she was not going to be laughing once I come to your school and shoot it up or blow it up like what happened in Columbine. Prosecution argued the definition defines a threat as an expression of intent to inflict harm or asked the court to consider that a jury instructions require the jury to find the defendant did make, in fact, a true threat. The panel were perplexed by the prosecutor in the way they gave jury instructions. The panel wrote that while a jury is asked to consider how a threat is perceived by others, they have to look at the law based on the way it's written and not their own personal interpretation, said the judge. Well, it now goes to the appellate court, and we'll see where it goes from there. By the way, the law passed by the Democrats' trifecta, signed into law by Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Short break. We'll be right back.
Scott Hawley came to our home and explained all the benefits of investing in a SafeStep walk-in tub and shower. After hearing all the options and features, all while using fresh, chemical-free water every night, made our decision a no-brainer. Call or text Scott at 231-534-0755 to schedule a free home visit. Mention Trucker Randy and get a $500 discount. Again, call or text Scott at 231-534-0755.
Y'all up here in northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithing, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The gun doctor is a certified gunsmith. You won't find one better in the north. And you sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the gun doctor.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of My Pure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
LegendarySystems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TruckerRandy, or call 800-654-9659.
Everybody, welcome back. Second segment, hour number three. Again, staying in Lansing. Testimony was given. Making women wait for abortion leads to stress, anxiety, and depression. Two witnesses testified on Friday stating that making a woman wait 24 hours to have an abortion does not make her change her mind. Instead, it leads to more stress, anxiety, and depression. M. Antonia Biggs, an associate professor of social psychology at the University of California's Advancing New Standards in Reproductive Health program, testified that 24-hour mandated delay laws that Michigan has, and other states, does not prevent women from experiencing regret related to their abortion, and it does not prevent negative health outcomes. There's no evidence to suggest that waiting is going to improve their decision-making in any way, Biggs testified. Without the law, people would have the autonomous decision-making capacity to decide whether they want to wait or whether they even want an abortion. What people don't like is being forced to wait. The research I've done shows that when people are being forced to wait after they've made a decision, that increases feelings of stress, more anxiety, and more depression. Well, the reason this testimony was being taken is because the Court of Claims Judge Saima Patel is having to hear testimony in the Northland Family Planning Center's lawsuit against our Attorney General, Dana Nessel, as well as the state's health and licensing directors, challenging three abortion restrictions, 24-hour mandatory waiting periods, mandatory uniform informed consent for women seeking an abortion, and a ban on advanced practice clinicians performing an abortion. The defendants have previously acknowledged the challenged laws are unconstitutional As a result, the state, represented by attorneys in the AG's office, served to provide legal defense in the case. Ultimately, the intervened defendant argued that the law is, in fact, constitutional. Well, back in June, Patel temporarily blocked the three restrictions, holding that they were likely unconstitutional. The testimony will resume tomorrow. Another outside of the state of Michigan witness, Amy Levi, consultant for New Mexico Department of Health, testified in favor of the APCs, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, and licensed midwives can, in fact, provide abortion care. What? A nurse practitioner, a physician assistant, and a midwife, according to this person, can perform an abortion. Unbelievable. So basically, these people want anybody in the health field to be able to perform an abortion, not a doctor. APCs provide miscarriage management. They also have the ability to not only manage miscarriage, but they also can perform abortions within the first trimester. Assistant Attorney General Kendall Aspenson said, who represents the state of Michigan, the judge overstated the unconstitutionality of these laws. These policy decisions about medical practice, in my opinion, should be allowed to be performed by anyone in the healthcare profession. These decisions should come within the profession and not from the courtroom. Well, Thursday, Northland founder and executive director Renee Chilian testified that she lobbied legislators back in 1999 and was told by then the anti-abortion lawmakers that the restrictions were designed to delay an abortion so a woman could have the opportunity to change her mind. Chilian said that these restrictions cause difficulty for women. Oftentimes, when they learn they can't have an abortion on the day of their appointment because they have to first receive state-mandated information and materials, which the women must print up themselves or pick up from the clinic in person. Then they have to reschedule later, requiring many of them to miss work and have to pay double expenses for transportation to and from the clinics. Well, the case resumes tomorrow. We'll keep following it and see where this goes. Next story. This is interesting. Prisoners in our state prisons, to be considered in the governor's next budget. Governor Gretchen Whitmer is hoping to enroll incarcerated individuals into the state Medicaid health coverage program 90 days before they're released from prison. Part of her $40 million proposal for the fiscal year upcoming 2026 budget. Governor Whitmer is making the Michigan Association of Health Plans a priority, representing eight insurers contracted with the state to manage Medicaid coverages in Michigan. Today, if a person is eligible for Medicaid and then they become incarcerated, the state freezes their benefits. They unfreeze that when a person is released, there's oftentimes coordination that needs to be taken care of before they re-enter the general population. And by the way, folks, I did some research on Medicare, Medicaid, different things over the weekend. Federal funding for Medicaid programs, two-thirds of it comes from Washington. The state of Michigan only covers one-third. That's why they're all concerned about these freezes that Donald Trump and Elon Musk have presented. Finishing up this story real quick, Governor Gretchen Whitmer wants $40 million in the next budget to accommodate these 90 days of coverages for these particular prisoners. Well, we'll see if the House Republicans, who are now in charge of appropriations, let's see if they, in fact, do it. Talking about merging the departments, looking at different things that have happened over the last couple of weeks. DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency. Well, Donald Trump's executive order was written to block legal challenges, including language that overrides conflicting executive orders. Orders every agency must comply with. If they refuse, these bureaucratic departments or agencies refuse, they're violating presidential authority. Now, very, very interesting development. Congress can't defund DOGE. Why? Because it's not a new program. What Donald Trump did by signing his executive order was to repurpose one of the Department of Justice's own departments. DOJ can't sue for overreach because Trump used existing laws that were written already. By who? President Barack Hussein Obama. Trump used existing laws exactly as they were written. Democrats are trying to file legal challenges based on what Donald Trump and Elon Musk is doing, operating under DOGE frameworks. Well, here's what happened. Obama literally built the perfect administrative state IT backdoor. Trump and Musk just hacked the system and took over administrative controls. Musk now has legal oversight at every major agency's internal systems, and the administrative state can't stop it without first rewriting multiple federal laws. Legally, the system is being played here exactly the way Obama created it. This is amazing. Why? Because here's what happened. Tom Rentz, a lawyer, actually read Donald Trump's executive order, expecting illegal power grabs, found it to be what Donald Trump did absolutely legally airtight. Turns out Trump and Musk didn't create anything. Obama did. What agency department are we talking about? Obama created United States Digital Services, USDS, back in 2014. It was meant as a bureaucratic patch job to fix the Obamacare website. Remember when they first launched, it crashed? Well, fast forward to 2025, Trump rebrands this United States Digital Service to DOGE, United States Department of Government Efficiency Services. He keeps the acronym keeps the funding but gives it a whole new mission. Legally untouchable because it's already fully funded and operational. Trump invokes USC 3161, which allows him to create temporary hiring authorities. DOGE teams get embedded in every federal agency. Each team consists of a lawyer, a congressman, as well as IT investigators. They report directly to DOGE and to the president. But wait, there's more. Trump evokes 44 USC Chapter 3-5, which governs federal IT and cybersecurity oversight. Since Obama's USDC was originally IT oversight body, DOGE now has full access to all federal data systems. All of them. What Donald Trump did is he simply repurposed one of Barack Obama's IT oversight agencies from 2014. All legal, all legitimate. And there's nothing federal judges can do to stop it. DOGE is within its legal rights. Checkmate. Mic drop. Game over. Final half hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Michigan News Source is brought to you by My Pure Health Solutions. Michigan News Source is brought to you by My Pure Health Solutions. If you want to lose weight and feel great with a custom program, it's time. My Pure Health Solutions.
From Michigan News Source, I'm Cheryl Fritz. Our top story this hour, several fire crews in the Great Lakes Bay region battled a major blaze at Consumers Energy's Karn Generating Complex in Essexville on Monday. The fire was reported in the afternoon in a large transformer on the complex. According to Consumers, the equipment is located outside of the main buildings, but the flames spread to the buildings. Consumers spokesperson said all employees at the Karn complex evacuated safely. No injuries were reported to Consumers employees. There was no immediate word about what caused the fire. The U.S. Coast Guard was responding to reports that an undisclosed quantity of mineral oil leaked at the complex and possibly into the water. Coast Guard crews were mobilizing Monday afternoon to assess and mitigate any pollution. Pit Spitters goes cashless. David Barr explains.
The Traverse City Pit Spitters announced that Turtle Creek Stadium will transition to a fully cashless operation beginning this season. The Pit Spitters join a growing number of Northwood League teams going cashless. The team cited the West Michigan Whitecaps as an example of a successful team that made the transition. All purchases at Turtle Creek Stadium will require credit cards, debit cards, or contactless payment methods. David Barr, Michigan News Source.
North Central Michigan College said it saw a 5% growth in enrollment for winter 2025, driven by full-time and adult learners. NCMC also said it noticed the 5% increase in both credit and contract hours compared to winter of 2024, along with notable growth in full-time students. The college said they saw an increase in adult student enrollment that was aided by the Michigan Reconnect Scholarship, which gives access to tuition-free and reduced-cost degrees for Michiganders eligible without a college credential. For Michigan News Source, I'm Cheryl Fritz.
Let me share another success story about a 59-year-old registered nurse. She started out at 216 pounds 78 days ago. Today, she's at 180 pounds. She says, I went from a size 20 to a size 14. I've lost 35 inches total. I tried other programs, exercised 5 days a week, and the scale didn't move. I was sick and tired of being fat and laying flat on the bed just to zip up my pants. Being a nurse, I knew that obesity was the number one risk